In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our health is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God and merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. That I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Trinity is from 1 Kings chapter 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to David's city, behold, the widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering up a cup of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward make something for yourself and your son." For thus says the Lord God of Israel, "The jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes.
The epistle is from Galatians chapter 5 and 6. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever he sows, that will he also reap. For one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the gospel of the Lord.
By the prophets, and I believe in one. Peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear again some verses from this Sunday's Gospel, St. Matthew 6, verses 30 to 34, as they are translated in the New King James Version of the Bible. Jesus said, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all those things the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Every year on this 15th Sunday after Trinity, we hear these words from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, which St. Matthew has recorded for our learning. And who can doubt that we need to hear these words over and over and over again? But perhaps especially this year, we need to hear these words of our Savior. "Do not worry," Jesus says, "but how easy it is for us fallen children of Adam to do just that. Of course, some of us worry more than others. And all of us probably know people, perhaps we ourselves, who have an irresistible urge to, as we say, borrow trouble, heedless of the Savior's words, 'Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.'" How we need to hear these words of the Lord Jesus and take them to heart. Last year, on the 15th Sunday after Trinity, none of us could have imagined the circumstances in which we and countless people around the world are now living. To be sure, we don't constantly dwell on this terrible virus which now literally plagues the world, but I suspect that for many of us it remains just below the threshold of consciousness. There is also this: there's just so much today that seems to be utterly unsettled. It seems as if there is unrest and violence throughout the world, all the settled conditions of life being brought into question. And nature itself seems to be in an uproar. The terrible fires on the West Coast and in the Amazon region, and now also in the vast region of Siberia. Besides all this, there are the problems in our own lives and the lives of our loved ones and friends. And given all these circumstances, it's oh so easy to worry ourselves to death. And so in the light of all of this, we need to take to heart the words of Jesus. And Jesus both opens our eyes to the temptation to worry, he also shows us the way of escape, the opposite of worry. Is trust. "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. What then is the way of escape? Notice how our Lord not only invites us to consider God's care for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, but Jesus repeatedly speaks of your heavenly Father. And with these words, the Lord Jesus is inviting us to trust God, not in a clenched teeth, grim sort of way, but to trust God as Father. And how do we know with certainty that God is our Father? Because God spared not his own Son, but gave him up for us all on the cross, blotting out all our sins, also our sins of anxious mistrust and worry, so that we are now clothed not in the soiled garments of any righteousness of our own, but in the spotless robe of Jesus' blood and righteousness, which are ours through simple trust, as we say in that simple prayer, Jesus' blood and righteousness, my jewels are, my glorious dress. In these before my God I'll stand, when I shall reach the heavenly land. Each one of us can say, as we say in the Catechism, I believe that God has made me and all creatures. I believe that God has made me. And that means that there is no person who has ever lived or will ever live, that is a product of chance. I believe God has made me. Each one of us is the result of a thought of God. Each one of us is willed. Each one of us is loved. Each one of us is necessary. The opposite of worry is trust, and not just any kind of trust, but trust in God as our Heavenly Father through his dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. With confident and trusting and, yes, sometimes trembling hearts, we place all our worries into the hands of Jesus. And we can trust those hands because they still bear the marks of the nails. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. To be sure, you and I are still living in a fallen creation, a creation which St. Paul describes as groaning and laboring with birth pangs until now. But Paul also says that when the risen Lord appears in glory, creation itself will, in a way we cannot now even dimly imagine, be delivered from the bondage of corruption and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. That is our great and glorious hope, when the whole creation will be clothed in resurrection glory. Until then, we live in trust, trust in our crucified and risen Savior. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we remember Merton's mother. We also remember our organist, Matthew, who undergoes surgery this week. Merton's mother is recovering from surgery. Let us stand and pray for the church and for the world. O O Lord our God, holy and infinite, you caused the light to shine out of darkness and have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Accept now in your endless mercy this our sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, and mercifully hear our requests. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
According to the multitude of your tender mercies, remember your whole church on earth, with all the pastors and ministers of your holy word and sacraments, especially Matthew, the chief pastor of our synod, John, the chief pastor of this district, the chaplains of the armed forces of our nation, and the missionaries of your grace at home and abroad. Lord, in your mercy. Remember also the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this state, our judges and magistrates, and all the rulers of the earth, that in this and every land justice and peace may prevail. Lord, in your mercy. Remember in your compassion all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, especially all persecuted Christians and all those for whom our prayers are desired. Lord, in your mercy. We also remember before you all those who have departed this life in the true faith of your holy name, and pray that we together with them may have our portion with all your saints in light. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. We continue by singing hymn 960. 960.